Hello, and you're very welcome to a podcast which is all about the Irish League. My name is Peter Cinnamond, and the final curtain may have closed on the league campaigns up and down the divisions, where Larne, Portadown, and Limavady United are your champions, but we ain't done yet. Not even close. As we're going to be looking at the upcoming playoffs coming this week, we ask if this past season's three-team title race in the top flight might be here to stay, and we're taking a deeper look at this rather highly anticipated Irish Cup final. It's Linfield versus Cliftonville, and we're going to be previewing it from all angles on this, your latest weekly edition of Kicking Match. Hey now, don't say it's over, because it's not. We have a Irish Cup final on the way. We have playoffs for promotion / relegation, European flavoured playoffs as well. But we know we're going to spend a bit of time looking forward to the big final coming up this weekend. And I'm going to be joined in the company of the Around the Grounds crew. It's Joe McCallion.
Doing well, Peter.
And Ross Welsh.
How are we?
We're doing good. And of course, one of the reasons I brought these boys back is because they represent both sides of this big cup final coming round. The end of the season has very much petered out for you both. What has been the feeling? Has it been one eye on this for a couple of weeks now?
I think we've had both eyes on it, to be honest, looking at our split. To be entirely honestly, not very good.
With you being a red man, of course, Joe. And
yes, Ross. Yep.
I've had a couple eyes on it since the Coleraine match. Ever since then, I've been all in. And now it really is time to decide if we're going to have a good season or not.
Well, a team who had an excellent season, great season for both of your teams, of course, but the team that won out in that three-way title race was eventually Larne. We did not see the 17-goal epic swing, part of that being that Coleraine had decided they were prepping for the European playoffs a wee bit early. So despite what happened at Windsor Park, didn't really matter what was going to go down there. Larne won out 4-0. They were able to celebrate at Inver Park. And I know for pretty much the past week and a half leading up to that game, everybody was saying they're champions and all that type of stuff. I doubt Niffl had booked a helicopter just in case they had to fly the trophy back to Windsor Park. But they went out against the entire league, but of course your two teams. It has been an historic season for Larne. You see all these stats from Marshall Gillespie talking about goals scored, goals conceded, victories at home, all the rest of it. When your both teams look back on this season, what will it feel like? Will it feel like you were just outdone by a far superior team, because both teams increased their points total, both teams ran it close enough, you got big wins in big games, but you're leaving without the Gibson Cup? Is it a weird feeling knowing that there's been improvements?
I think for us, we'll probably not be as disappointed as Linfield might be. I think Jim's performance with the team this year has probably surprised everyone. I think we weren't expected to be up and around the top, certainly not competing and challenging that late on. What killed us towards the end, obviously losing Cricky and other transfers there in January, as well as injuries. So come the end of the season, with the squad that we had, it was tough to still compete at the top. But overall, I think it's been a pretty good success and a good start to Jim's time at the Reds. So it'll be good to build on this season. Hopefully we do over the summer.
I think from a Blues point of view, it's a little bit more disappointing, because we were 5 or 8 points ahead around Christmas time. And obviously when you don't win at the end of it, that'll bring that pang of disappointment. But with Larne, there's always going to be a degree of, not accept it, but you can sort of make your peace with it, in that they're this juggernaut. And, you know, they're always going to be hard to stop, and they're always going to be there. Feels like they never lose. But obviously, you know, a team of Linfield's size and stature, we've got to be winning the league maybe every other year. And obviously to lose out twice in a row is the most disappointing thing, I think.
Is there slight concern within Blues fans that this could be a team that runs away with it? You respond to them winning last year, do better, but they do better as well. And you came somewhat close, but missed out, really due to your own results against Larne, miss out due to that. Is there a slight worrying feeling that this might keep going?
I think there's a big worry of it, because We all know how valuable the European money is, and the rest of the league almost got away with one in that Lauren got very tricky draws in both competitions and couldn't really advance to the group stage. Could be a totally different story this season. Get a lesser team. Obviously, the more they're in these European competitions, the seeding goes up. They might get seeded at some point, and then there's that clear route to the group stages. And once that, Conference League group money is coming in, they could really start to pull away. And I think the annoyance from a lot of Linfield fans is that this was such a doable year to stop them in their tracks and, get back on the more of a level footing. But, we've let it slip away, and hopefully we don't look back and obviously next year, but maybe 3, 5 years into the future and think we haven't won a league in 7 years now.
We'll trickle down to the rest of the league here because, as much as both Cliftonville and Limfield, and maybe you'll add in Glentoran to this as well, we'll be worried that there could be even a small one, a slight gap emerging if Lorne keep improving, pushing forward. We don't know what potential European money could totally take them to another stratosphere. But you look at all three teams at the top, Lorne increased their points total by 7. Cliftonville also increased theirs by 7. Linfield increased theirs by 8. So it's pretty much like all three of those teams got better in parallel. So that means throughout the rest of the league, they've gotten worse. There is a chance actually that this is now we talk about this top six that hasn't changed in 5 years. There's a chance maybe we could see a further breakaway with these three teams. We know about Cliftonville looking to go into a more fluid, full-time, semi-full-time model. Linfield are sticking with it. Lorne aren't looking back. So as we are very much 2 feet into this full-time era, we could see these teams start to take off as if they haven't already.
Yeah, it definitely feels like, as you say there, you can see it in the points that it feels like the three teams have sort of taken away. It feels like it as well when you're at the matches and you're there. I mean, I think at the start of the season, we were talking about Crusaders and the squad that they had, and we were quite positive for them. And it's been quite a shock that that hasn't happened. Well, we say it every year with the Glens, so it's not too much as a surprise there. But I think you're right. It feels like those top three teams, there was like, I don't know if you'd say a bit more of a professionalism about it, but it feels like those three are sort of cementing themselves as like the teams that are sort of moving away from the rest of the league. Although I even felt like there was a wee bit of a separation between the top six and the bottom six. Well, I suppose the middle wasn't too much really, but the bottom half of the table really felt like it was quite a bit away from the rest of the league.
The top three teams have added their points totals there, but I think you have to factor in that a really bad Newry side, a really bad Ballymena side, and then Glens and Crews both in transition, they'll look to be back next year, and then sort of the teams in the middle, I'd like to see whether they've picked up more points or not. It feels like certainly from a Linfield perspective, Dungannon, I think Glenavon snatched a point against us. Dungannon got a fair few results, opening the season against Lorne. So definitely, as teams push on, it's going to become a real dogfight to get break into that top three.
It's funny you say about Newry there. That's they end the season on 17 points, equaling a all-time low if you're to kind of consider that Portadown, when they got points deducted a number of years ago, they technically ended on 13, but you add in the 12, they go up to 25 points earned. That kind of equals with the Swifts a couple of years ago, but they didn't go down due to COVID. So where was the energy there for them? So it's weird to look back at a 12-team league where there's teams finishing bottom with 35, 31, 34 points. Like there has been times where 2 wins here or there, 23 points is kind of around that area where last is finishing. So yes, historically a very poor, worst team. But if you're going to look at turnarounds here, Lorne look good going in the next year. Linfield will be strong, no doubt. Cliftonville, this is a nice step up for them, and they'll want to keep this momentum going. In many ways, they've lost some of their key players, so they've somewhat taken the step back, kept going, and will no doubt improve in the summer. The teams below them, Crusaders, they've got a huge amount of work to do, team in transition, both on and off the pitch, and maybe they'll find the signings or the players will develop and grow that will get them competing very quickly, but that doesn't seem to be the consensus feeling right now. Ditto for Glentoran. There's going to be lots of ins and outs there. No doubt they'll bring in players who are perhaps more experienced. But I also have a feeling that this is now a time to let the stew boil and try and season some of these more younger players as the backbone. And that does not happen overnight. So then you're looking at really Cole Rain as the team who's had a decent enough end of the season, perhaps more draws than they would like, or at least more draws than what this whole great end of the season would suggest. You know, they're unbeaten, but they ultimately need to get wins next season to push on. If they are to break through into a similar points bracket as the top three, they're going to need to somehow change up by earning 30 more points. So as much as I think Corrine are going to have a much different and a turnaround next year, 30 points, almost half their points total, almost their same points total again, going from 46. It's a lot of ground to be caught up on. And I think as much as I did not predict a good season for Cliftonville, I can't see them capitulating next year either, any of these three.
No, I certainly hope not. The transfers out in January, you know, Craigie Gallagher and Turner as well, were both massive losses for us. And I'm impressed that we didn't completely derail our season from there, because it was clear that there was an effect on the squad from that point on. They were two very key players to lose. So I'm happy that we stayed in and around. And I think you're right. I think we'll build on that. I think there's good young players. Whether or not we'll hold on to them, obviously Ben Wilson wasn't quite the same since his injury, but I think if he gets going again next season, if he stays with us, he could be just as good as he was. Stephen Mallon as well, another young player, would be great to see come on. And well, there's plenty in there, Casey as well, and Kearney. So there's a lot of optimism, I think, for the Reds. So I think you're right. I don't see us dropping. When you're talking about the amount of points that the teams behind us need to build up, I can't see us dropping away that much. And as you say, they have a lot of work to do behind to catch up. And I think you're right about Lauren in the field as well, especially Lauren. I mean, like, you can just see them going again next season and doing the same sort of thing. It's whether or not us behind them can catch up on them. I don't see them coming back.
Yeah, you could see one of the three having a freak season and, you know, being 20 points worse than they were this year. But you can't see all three of them capitulating like that, especially not this Lauren team. I don't think they have that in them. I think there'll be a degree of transition for Lauren this year, but not a 30-point swing. So it's a massive task for anyone outside that top three to even think about mounting a challenge.
It's a weird quirk. Lauren end on 90, Linfield on 85, Cliftonville on 75. I know the last few games you'd have different swings one way or the other. Didn't really matter, some of those results. Crusaders on 60. If Glentoran didn't win out on Saturday against the Crews in a dead rubber, they would be on 57 or 58. Then Coleraine on 46. You can see the trend here. There is like a different bracket. Each one there was a significant gap going up the table. So I think a lot will change, but I think we will see a pack emerge quite early and they'll progress on. And that's one thing looking out for is, will we see a kind of a fifth, sixth, fourth, and almost a mini, you know, we used to talk about mini leagues in seasons gone by. That hasn't really emerged in the same way this year, but we could almost see the top six maybe run away with it next year and this battle for seventh go on a lot earlier. One thing I also feel, I haven't got like the numbers to absolutely back it up, but January actually probably is later in the season than people realize. People think of this, you know, January as, oh, this is the halfway point and we've got the whole half season to go. A lot of the changes we saw at some teams, I'm thinking of Newry, some additions to Glenavon, they had an impact, but it felt as though they had like a 6-week window across maybe 5 league games where at that point their impact had come and gone, you know. So that's one thing I'm thinking. I think it's going to be bigger now coming into the season in August, that if you're relying on big changes coming in January, they can come, but they're almost like helping to the final stretch. And it's a big extended stretch, that's be fair, but it's not exactly the same kind of, and we've got to do it all over again. There's much more going on post-January, and a lot of teams probably need to get their house in order earlier, knowing that they have a lot less runway to change course.
Definitely, because if you think about it, teams are back in July. By the time you get to the January transfer window, you've 6 months of football in the rear view mirror. So it's more there's more of an impetus than ever on the summer window to get things right. And obviously there's teams have invested well. Andy Ryan, January signing, Cricky Gallagher. Maybe by teams, I just mean Lauren. That boost isn't quite enough, it seems, after January. And Glenavon as an example, if your season's gone by then, it's gone. You can have your wee dead cat bounce, but realistically, they didn't get anywhere where they maybe would have wanted to be this year.
Let's talk about a game we were at because all the leagues wrapped up. Limavady, they're up into the championship. We're going to see Armagh against Dergview fight it out to see which one of those teams will play championship football next season. Knockbreda, after getting a stay of execution last season, they are now going to be playing PIL football next year. Then into the championship, it was a race that really excited every Irish League fan. Either you were someone that supported one of these teams or you were just fascinated by the twists and turns and the drama. And we got a little turn at the very final moment. Portadown, they've been partying all week, hosted Institute. Anna and Bangor fought it out just a mile or 2 miles down the road there on the Tandragee Road. And it was a situation where Institute needed to win. Bangor and Anna needed to draw for the Northwest team to sneak their way up into second, sneak their way into the promotion playoff. And via an injury time goal, they did it. What a mad Friday night for Institute, a team who probably their fans wanted to believe, but there was something in the back of their head where let's not get our hopes up too much. We were all there together to watch the game. Huge for Institute. But also commiserations, disappointment to both. I don't know, Dundella wanted to win the league for the pride of it, but I'm sure both Bangor and Anna were looking at each other at the end of their draw, thinking, we've kind of messed this up for the both of us here.
Yeah, there was that. I don't know if you saw the photo on Twitter of the two sets of players just falling to the floor, all 22 of them. It's rough that but it's also incredible. I mean, I don't think any of us saw that result going that way. I mean, as you say, we were there, and we were talking about it more, just expecting a goal to come in the other game. I don't think we thought it was actually going to be a draw with Institute sneaking a win at the end. But it's absolutely incredible. It says a lot for that league, just how competitive and how tough it is, for Newry going down and whoever else, if it's Ballymena that go down as well, how tough it is to get back out of that league. I mean, what was it? The Institute go from fifth to second with that goal. So it shows you really don't want to be down in there. But I don't know what you thought. I thought it was a wee bit of a not a nothing game at the time. It didn't feel like there was that much on the line. Maybe that was more just put it down. They were done, they were waiting to lift the trophy. But the goal was coming for a good 5 minutes at the very end, and seeing them celebrate with their fans, and it's a great thing for them traveling that whole way down. It was great to get the celebration with the fans.
Yeah, it was all a very day after the Lord Mayor's show, and Niall Curry said himself after, I think a few of the players were still on the beers, the Ports players, and then at the start, Institute were sort of playing the same way, not much to play here, and then I don't know if they've got word that the other game's still in the balance. Let's give this a proper go, and then it was a real siege on the Portadown goal for a period at the end, and yeah, I think they got their just desserts in the end. I think Institute deserved the win. And as Joseph said, the scenes were brilliant. A club that have been up in the big time and over the course of the season, they deserve to be having a chance to get back there.
Table doesn't lie, as Niall Curry wanted to remind everybody at Shamrock Park on Friday night. And I totally agree with your assessment. It felt like a game that didn't have a whole lot of zip, a whole lot of intensity from the start. Portadown looked to just play out the game. They had a few chances, didn't really take them. And then Institute held back. We're able to just use that final big rush, get the goal. Nice little pass and move to get it to find a bit of space in the box, and it came so late on that Portadown just, well, it would have been harsh on them to respond, but there had been that little back and forth from the 97th minute winner, which very much helped Portadown under the title that they got at the Brandywell. And of course the back and forth from that was because a lot of Portadown fans rushed onto the pitch in celebration for that goal. And I know in my role here that I am saying that no fan should run onto the pitch, you know, player safety, etc., etc., etc. But the Institute fans running onto the pitch and making it very clear they were running onto the pitch. They ran far into it to celebrate with their team. And there must have been about 3-4 minutes to go. It was not really a last minute winner at all. I think they made a statement with that, and I understood the little jibe and the little poke that they had there. And you've got to tip your hat to that kind of football. I don't want to call it pettiness, but there was a little jibe there, I thought. Great for Institute, dark horses from the outset. I always thought that of all those three teams outside of Portadown, if they were to get into the playoff or win the league, all of them were unique and different. And the qualities that Institute had were chemistry, were fitness, drive, determination, hard work. And that performance on Friday night was an epitome of that. And now they go into a game against Ballymena. I don't know if it's of all the three, it's the one that they would want to have, because in that situation, Ballymena are going to play out. But Bangor and Anna, I think, were really going to take the game to Ballymena. And this is going to be more nervy for them than it is for the championship team. Like, the stats say that you're going to highly favour the premiership team. And for weeks and weeks and weeks, I've discussed and pondered, is this the one time where maybe the championship side might be favoured? I don't think that's the case, because I do feel as though Jim Irvine's finally found a coherent team, a team that kind of works together, and they're scoring goals. And they've had to play a few big games themselves and trying to get away from Newry, which they eventually did. The one thing Institute have is they don't have that same kind of pace and freneticism. They'll catch you on the break, but they're a more assured side, and that might benefit, that slower pace, I think, might benefit Ballymena. And I think if Institute are to squeeze by, it's not going to be some sort of 3-0, famous last words here, 3-0 at home, hold the lead. It will be a low scoring affair. That's, of course, if Institute are to do it. So every single one of them are going to be a different task, a difficult task in that, right? So, I mean, Institute go into it from being at the near the bottom of the championship. They now have the chance to return to the top flight. They'll have to do it across two legs. Does your gut tell you one thing or the other, having a look at the Institute side? We got a chance to look at this highly touted Leopard at the back. He is a big boy, and he's very assured in the ball, and he'll take care of everything that's in the air. He came off injured in that game. He'll probably be a key player for them in that playoff.
Yeah, well, I definitely like the look of him, so I hope the rumors are true. I think your assessment there is pretty fair. In that, I think you could see maybe a similar game, obviously with a bit more edginess and nerves to it, but a similar game to what we saw against Portadown, where Institute will sort of just know if they don't make mistakes, they might be okay. You know, I don't know if Ballymena will tear them apart as such. I think they'll just be structured and, you know, stick to just do the simple things and do them right. I think they would have been a bit more confident pre-split. I think, as you said there, it's starting to look like Ballymena finally got a hold of things, so they're looking a bit more threatening now. They're maybe not quite the sort of, it's not quite the sort of game you would have said, you know, 8 games ago, you would have been saying, actually, there's a really good chance here that we're seeing two teams go down for the first time in a while. I think Ballymena will still do it. I think they'll edge it out. I don't think either team's going to run over. You know, I think it will just be like a 1-2-0 either side.
Yeah, I fancy a real patchy affair, not much, a lot of risk. Should have been in the championship relegation playoff last year, but they got the reprieve because of the Warren Point thing. So what a story that'll be if they manage to turn that around. And I feel like I can't pick a winner. I saw Jay Mervyn did an interview today saying all the pressure's on them. And it probably is, because, you know, Institute not expecting to be in that situation. Maybe that'll coax them into being a little bit more free-flowing, but I can't see past a real edgy, low-scoring affair like you have both said.
Before we get towards the cup final, there's really not a huge amount to say about the games that happened over the weekend. The main thing that needed to be decided on Saturday was who was going to finish seventh and go into the European playoff. Carrick Rangers held their nerve against Glenavon. They now go on to a game against Crusaders. Meanwhile, Glentoran will play Coleraine in the other semi-final. It's one of those weeks where it feels like it's not a big story other years, but since last year, this is how we found out the whole drama with Warren Point not getting their license. It's somewhat interesting, and the little bits and pieces that we saw from what I described as licensing day was that Anna United, if they were to get up, they would have played at Shamrock Park. That would have been surprising, but also very interesting after the setup last year was that if they had gotten up, they were going to go and play in the Coleraine Showgrounds. With that, then, we have some teams that, if they get into Europe, can't play at their home ground. Lahr not being one of them. I don't know what the process is. I don't know how they add a little bit of magic dust to their turf at Inverpark, but they'll be able to play Champions League football there. Kenny Bruce, finish the story, play the music. Now, if Carrick Rangers do get through, they will actually be playing their games at the Ballymena Showgrounds. So, Carrick Rangers finish off a record-breaking season for them. Highest position, highest amount of points. I think we're talking games won and all the rest of it. He was a contender for Manager of the Year last season. Stuart King's done a great job going back-to-back, and now he gets to have a go at potentially getting Europe. Some story if he pulls it off.
Yeah, some story indeed. He's had a great season. It was interesting throughout the season, the sort of three teams that are around there in Loughall, Glenavon and Carrick. It was an interesting affair throughout the year, but the thing that sort of, I think, pulled Carrick away in the end was sort of scoring goals. I mean, Gibson was terrific throughout the whole season, so not that it was just him that pulled him through, but I think that was a key sort of aspect that really sets you apart in that sort of part of the table. So sure, King, he did great in terms of getting Manager of the Year. It's always going to be tough going up against Tiernan, but it's something, obviously, with money coming in for them now, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do over the next couple of years and see if they can push on.
I think how you can really praise Stuart King is that you just see Carrick as a Premiership team now. You know, they're never really in the discussion for relegation, and the fact that, you know, people are sort of looking at them seventh and saying, yeah, it's sort of a testament to where he's bringing that club.
We now look ahead to a big week of football outside of the Irish Cup. We have the European playoff semi-finals on Wednesday. We have the first leg of the promotion to the Premiership, promotion relegation playoffs. Actually, both of them are happening on Tuesday, the 30th of April. And then the second leg is happening on Friday. So quick turnaround with then the final of the European playoff happening next Monday. The bank holiday Monday, so it's a 3 p.m. kickoff, and there's lots of great coverage of that happening. So you think the streams are over by BBC, they're still there. So outside of the cup final, lots of great coverage still coming your way, and you know your boy will be back next week to chat about it all. Irish Cup time, big final, huge crowd preparing to go to Windsor Park. It's Linfield versus Cliftonville. It's a really fun and exciting week now. A nervous week if you're a supporter of either team. I would say that Linfield are the favourites going into it, but only just based on the season that they've had and their success in other cup competitions. Ross, based on that you missed out on the league, you came close, but you also have a League Cup sitting at Windsor Park. Are you concerned a touch about the team not having the same, being complacent perhaps, being just another final? Or do you like that experience that the team has, that they want to go out and right the wrongs of not having the Gibson Cup?
I think because the league is so fresh, I think the boys will be up for it. And I think I took a bit of stick last year on the podcast for saying that if we only won the League Cup, it would be a poor enough season. But I'm just going to say it again, because for Linfield it is. Just a League Cup isn't enough, and it doesn't satisfy the fan base, which, you know, the pressure dial has been cranked up to 11, and I am beside myself already. We really need to win this, or else there's a real grey cloud over this season.
Because this is not about European football. This is all about the history of winning the trophy, getting one over on a big time rival in the league. Except for Cliftonville, there's a lot more on the line from this. They have struggled every time they've got to the final. They haven't been to too many in recent times. And Joe, I've always felt that when you talk about the Irish Cup to some Cliftonville fans, they almost talk about it as if it's like some sort of like fantasy competition. It doesn't really exist. We play in it sometimes, but we're not actually in it. You know, it's like whatever it is, Ireland in the Eurovision, like we're not actually gonna win it. We're there, but there's no point dreaming of anything happening. You're there, you're one game away from it. I feel as though because you got one over on Lorne, and because you've been able to somewhat freshen this team up, there's a certain confidence about Cliftonville that I didn't expect. I feel they're more bullish going into this game on Saturday rather than feeling a bit meek and worried and we'll try our best. There's something a bit more confident about them. Do you feel that as well?
Yeah, I definitely do. I feel, as you say, that game against Lorne, like it was very controlling. I think we really looked at our best in that game. Obviously, the split that came after, I think it just showed, you know, the league was gone. So I wouldn't be looking too much into our results and the preparation. Although obviously sometimes that can hurt you, as you know, it's happened to the Glens and stuff in the past with their, you know, one eye on the final. It's just that whole haven't won it in ages, and we've been in the final not too often, and every time we've been there since we've lost, and like there's that pressure for that, but there's also it kind of feels like that almost takes pressure away a wee tiny bit in a sense, as you say, you know, we come away after going sure never won it anyway. Like it's the same story every time, every season. So I do feel like the pressure is more off us and more on Linfield, to be honest. Especially as Ross says, with the fan expectation for Linfield, obviously for Cliftonville, now that we're there, there absolutely is the expectation to win, especially over Linfield. But it says a lot for Linfield's season if they don't win.
So, just to continue the Eurovision metaphor, are you saying c'est la vie?
Shocking that.
The one thing about the head-to-head recently, this year's slightly different. I mean, I felt as though anytime Cliftonville were prepared to take on Linfield, they were doing it on this wave of success. And then every single time this season, bar of course Saturday past, it's ended in defeat. In fact, the last time that Cliftonville actually did beat Linfield, you have to go all the way to last January at home. So is there a certain feeling from a Reds point of view that you haven't got one over on this team in a while?
Yeah, it's a very worrying stat that, and it's obviously something that on the, you know, the more positive side of things, well, I say positive, but in those games we weren't played off the park, we weren't sort of turned over. We were, you know, in the first time we met them at Solitude this season, it was one mistake. It was a very tight game that we maybe I'm being biased, maybe should have won. It hit the post and the bar, and it came down to a mistake was the difference in that game. So it is a worrying stat, but it's also not, I'm not overly worried about it, especially because it's a, you know, it's a cup final.
The type of stat you hate to see. It's almost asking Cliftonville when it's like when you're watching the TV and it flashes up like goals from set pieces zero, and you just know right, well they're gonna swing a corner and score here. Like it's tempting fate, and I just hate it. I think that all just adds into it, the fact that they haven't beat us all season. They haven't won the cup since 1979. I think it's making everything worse and more intense for me. Like it's more reason to not lose.
One feather in the cap of Cliftonville, I feel as though, is that one, they beat Lorne, and two, they did it at Windsor Park. I think that plays a role.
Definitely. I agree, because very different from Solitude, where we look so good. The one thing that would slightly worry me about that game against Lorne is the way we sort of started it. And it's happened a couple of times at Windsor. We did it against Crusaders as well, a couple of years ago, where for some reason we start to go long ball and we start to try play it in behind. And it never really seems to work. And then eventually there's changes in the midfield and we start to become a bit more structured and start playing football. And then that's when we start to see ourselves sort of, well, it's what we play all the time, it's what we're used to. So I'm hoping that because of the pitch and the way we saw we ended up playing against Lorne, that we don't start with this sort of long ball tactic that we've done a couple of times. Which I think you just get tempted by with a bigger pitch. The game that we had against Lorne, It was really good in the end, that second half especially. So fingers crossed that we'll come out the same way that we did that second half.
Ross, you've got home advantage here, let's just say it. That plays into your hands. The other thing that might play into your hands is the fact that your team has had to keep playing hard games, high energy games, high pressure games, and this starting 11 has had to somewhat shine. And sometimes you want that going into a game like this. The Reds' approach has been a bit of the cotton wool approach. Linfield haven't been afforded that because they've wanted to go for the league. Are you hoping that that is a benefit to David Healy's side, that they're in here ready to go and they're not trying to stretch out thinking, how do we play these big games again?
Yeah, I think that's been the strategy in these last two matches. That lineup against Cliftonville at the weekend there was bonkers, in that we have a cup final next week.
Against them in that ground, let's talk about it, and it was your starting strongest 11, pretty much, against
Yeah.
a mix of Cliftonville's fringe starters, senior players, and a couple of youngsters. I'm surprised that game was so, let's say, mellow. Let's just say
Yeah.
the tackling was fair. Let's just describe it as, rather than firm.
As delicately put, I understand the logic in playing that team. However, against any of the other 10 teams in the league, just talk about showing your hand. And it's not as if we're blessed with the depth where this could all be a big disguise. If that's the team again next week, not shocked at all. I don't know. David Healy's paid the big bucks, and I'm not, so maybe he knows what he's doing. But I just think it's risky, to say the least, to play that sort of team. However, the fact that we have been playing the tough games, I like that, and I think it gives us a bit of an edge. You know, even if you are going for the cotton wool approach, the hidings that Cliftonville took isn't going to do anything for morale, and you know, not even hidings throwing away the lead. The cool rain as well. So hopefully there's a bit of mental fragility there that's developed over the last few weeks.
It's something that will go down as either a coy bit of management if Linfield win, or it will be the thing that is talked about time and time again in the summer if for some reason Linfield don't win. Like that it's either gonna be genius or question marks based on that team selection. The substitutes eventually came on at the hour mark, plenty of young players on there, but really for me, bar Ethan Magee, it looked like a really strong 11. Was a part of that a fitness thing? Was a part of that a team chemistry thing? Was a part of that just making sure you got the victory? They didn't. It was a 1-1 draw. The question, you kind of alluded to it, the question is how much of Linfield's hands did they show, or is it going to be a complete sleight of hand, a different reveal, and we'll get to the teams later. I am so interested in what these teams are going to be going forward. Like, Joe, talk about that. Linfield will want to claim that playing all these games, getting their 11 up the top, peak fitness is what they want. Are you confident, happy that Jim started to somewhat wind down his team preparing for this big game, or you got some concerns?
I think I'm kind of split on it. I think considering the league was gone, it's hard to even make those other games competitive. So the actual competitive nature, which is the bit I would be more worried about, the sort of mental side of playing big games is where I would be more concerned about. In terms of the teams that, you know, the team that we were playing, like we had Pepper start or play a full 90 minutes against Crusaders, and Kenny and stuff played as well. So in terms of playing your more fringe players, I don't mind that. He still had the bigger players playing and getting minutes and keeping fit and keeping match fit. So I don't see an issue in terms of play the team that's going to start on Saturday, more than likely. It's more, as I say, the bigger concern I would have is that we didn't keep ourselves in for the title race so that we could have still had the competitive nature, the real sort of this is a huge game that we need to win. That was gone really when Lauren beat us just before the split. So I don't think there was much Jim could do, and I think he's probably done the right thing.
Looking ahead now to the game, I've asked you to both work on a little bit of homework, pick out what you think the starting 11 will be. We'll start with Linfield because they're the team that, as we alluded to, might have already told us exactly who might be starting. They made one change on Saturday, Kyle compared to their game against Lorne. There's no doubting they played the best team they could possibly against them, which they couldn't win out in that game. Like, formation's interesting. It's trying to fit these players in. There is the odd injury or two. Like, there's no question Johns is starting the Nets. It's just shape-wise. Is this a three at the back for you?
I thought about a three. In the end, I ended up with a four. But I wouldn't hold against you if you go for a three. It's just, where do you want to play Shields back there, or do you want him in midfield? I think that's what it boils down to.
Well, what do you want to? Because the game against Cliftonville, it's three at the back. It's Finlayson Hall, and Clark came in for McGee. He was out of the team completely. Then he had Miller and Cooper either side as these wingbacks who were quite high up the pitch. Then you had Shields, McLean, McKee a bit kind of deeper in this number 10 kind of role. And then Fitzpatrick and Braden Graham off the back of the game against Monday. He played as well, which instantly when I saw that, I thought, oh my goodness, Braden Graham is probably playing in the cup final. This is not some sort of cameo against Lorne, like a weapon to take on a certain weakness of Lorne. There must be something David Healy thinks is going to work in his next big games. From what I saw on Saturday, I'm less positive that's going to happen at the end of 90 minutes now. So, four at the back, who have you got?
I've got Clark and McGee as the fullbacks, and then Hall and Finlayson, centre-backs.
Rather than Newbury, he wouldn't fit in there?
No, not for me. Not for me. Especially if you know there's links that he's going to Cliftonville. Not that it really matters, but just it plays in the back of my mind as a fan.
So, Clark comes back in. I couldn't really decipher why McGee wasn't there on Saturday. I mean, a player who's really come to the fore for Linfield. Had a massive game against Cliftonville just pre-split. I felt was a real match winner there and gave them nightmares. So he comes in there. I kind of like what you're going for there. So if you've got four at the back, how does your midfield and attack, how do they get themselves set up shape-wise?
You could call it a 4-2-2-2 or a 4-2-4. But I've got McLean and Shields as your midfield.
You're nailed on McLean and Shields.
Yeah, they've got to be starting more than that because we don't have any other centre midfielders. If you want to put Shields in their back three, then you really need to do a good bit of rearranging because then there are no other midfielders. So I think you've got them two in there as a necessity. I've then went Miller and Cooper out wide and advanced. I don't want any defending out of them. I hate them both at wing back. It limits them so much. I think you got to have them up high and wide. And then the front two, I've went Graham and Fitzpatrick, but it's two of them and McKee. I can make my peace with any of that.
Yeah, I didn't particularly love Cooper and Miller. I must say, in those wing back positions, I felt as though they were just starting from such a far end of the pitch. It just gave them too much work to do. I know Miller likes to get the ball and he can really work it from the back into midfield, but I definitely think Miller is, you're playing to his strengths when you're playing the ball to him and he's already going through the gears from a speed point of view. He doesn't have, at least for me, the kind of explosion where if the ball's at his feet that he can just drop the shoulder and beat a man. I think that's not really in his skill set right now. My goodness, can he whip a ball from deep? You can't doubt that, and perhaps it'll be a bit more of a different angled sort of set up out wide. I think Miller and Cooper do start out wide. How deep they are, I don't know. I think it's because of the midfield. That's the problem, because Mulgrew, by all accounts, is out. Archer's been trying to come back, as made into the team. We saw that bench on Saturday where you had the likes of just teenagers, you know, Kieran O'Neill, who, I mean, he's just 16. You're not going to throw him on in the final. If you do, I thought he's very impressive, got a great frame, but I can't see it. So then you look at up top, Fitzpatrick is absolutely nailed on for me, and then you've got to wonder, what do you want to do? Do you want McKee to come on with 20 minutes to go, or do you want Braden Graham to come on? Who's going to be more impactful? I thought the Cliftonville backline really did a number on Graham. I know he hasn't got the largest frame to begin with, but I think he was kind of bullied out of the game. And again, there's questions about intensity in that match at Windsor Park. So I I think we're going to see very similar, unfortunately. I think it's going to be three at the back, Finlayson Hall, Clark, Cooper, Miller, McLean and Shields, and then maybe Annette comes in to start, but it's Fitzpatrick. I know what you're going for, and it's probably 50-50 for me which way it's going to be. I think Finlayson's nailed on, Miller, Cooper, John, Shields, McLean, Fitzpatrick, one way or the other. Joe, would you prefer them to play a three at the back? If I recall, Linfield played a three at the back against Cliftonville at Solitude, and it worked a treat. So would you rather them change it up, or would you? Are you happy to see Miller and Cooper having to try and drive the ball from pretty much the halfway line?
Yeah, I think what Ross was saying there about Cooper and stuff being pushed back into defensive roles, I think I'd much prefer to see that because he's obviously a brilliant player, but he is nowhere near as effective when he's having to play so deep. So in terms of, you know, three at the back, I think that's more where it's important how many players you're getting into that midfield and, you know, the quality of them in there.
So if that's how Linfield are going to set themselves up, let's look at Cliftonville, because it's not as clear because there has been such rotation and different players brought in. Odemossu was brought back into the team on Saturday. I don't think that's a sign that he isn't playing. He was very much dropped in my eyes to either avoid injury or because of the 8-1 against Lorne. So my gut tells me that he's been brought in to try and get himself prepped for that game. He's been number one pretty much all season. It'll be a big call to suddenly change at the guard side. I think you'll see three at the back, as we've seen for a majority of the season for Cliftonville. That isn't going to change. Addis Casey Burns a three.
Yeah, that's who I have. That's exactly the way I've gone so far.
Kearney outright, Young Player of the Year nominee. The question will be on the left. I can't see Reece Jordan being put in there, but is John Stewart fit? That's what I'm pondering.
I have it in brackets there right beside him. I said Sean Stewart, if he's fit, which hopefully he is, because I think it's a wee bit more of a worry if we are looking at that position without him. If you're having to bring on Mallon at full, or, you know, at wing back, having to do a bit more defensive work, it's not quite the same. So I'm hoping it's going to be Sean Stewart in there.
Is that the other alternative? It's Stewart or Mallon, really?
For me, that's the way I'm looking at it. Yeah, I can't see what other way we would go unless you're asking Chris Lowe to play as like a center half for a game and pushing Burns out the left. But I don't see us doing that. I think that's too much of a risk.
Roy Hill in the middle, alongside Ronan Dock.
Yep, that's how I have it.
Who else do you add in there? Or
see, this is, I feel like I've gone a bit more defensive. The more I'm looking at it, the more I'm not too sure. At the moment, I have Curran in there. I was between Curran and Lowe because it seems like Lowe is back. He was in the team there again. So the reason I've gone for Curran is the difference he made in that Lauren game. We really shaped up when he came onto the pitch and looked a lot more solid. I think he really made a huge difference, and he has done. Sort of second half of the season, he seems to be trusted a bit more by Jim, and he's made a real difference in the team. So I think I'm going to stick with Curran, although I do think it is, yeah, I think it's slightly defensive looking at it.
And then it's Ronan Hill plus one. Recent history says it's going to be Ben Wilson. Is that who you go for?
Yeah, I have it done as Wilson as well. I know he hasn't quite been the same since his injury, but, you know, with the way he was before, I think he's the obvious choice in there.
The alternative is Gormley, but again, Gormley hasn't had many starts this year, and he's been more effective, or at least has been deployed more from the bench. Another name who I do not think will start, but did come in to have a little bit of a role on Saturday, and could play a big role this Saturday, Sam Ashford. You've really missed him, I feel.
He's been a big miss, but I think both of those players that you've named, as you say, are far more effective off the bench than they are starting. I think starting, when you're starting and you're looking to bring someone like Wilson on, potentially, I don't think it makes the same impact as the other way around. I think Joe Gormley made a pretty big difference against Lauren as well, although his age seems to finally be catching up with him a wee tiny bit in terms of when we're playing balls in behind. But he makes a big difference dropping deep and winning the ball and playing passes. So I think he's much more effective off the bench.
Underrated recently as someone, particularly on in games, who can just capture the ball at his feet and hold it up to try and play other players in. Probably just doesn't have the same ability to turn a defender or steal that yard to whip in a shot or a ball. But big time games, someone who's been there, done that. I mean, you're blessed to have someone like that on there. When it comes to the flow of the game, I think the last time we saw these two play, it was very much Linfield trying to nullify Cliftonville and force them to make mistakes. I just don't see that being the same way, mainly because that's exactly what Cliftonville did to Larne in the semi-final. So both teams, I think, will pass it around the back, try and play a few balls out. I think it'll be a really slow start to the final. Might be a pretty boring first half. Set pieces will be key. I think Cliftonville are far dangerous from the set piece than Linfield are. Similar to that semi-final, you can see that Cliftonville will want to try and do exactly what they did. Steal a little header from Mattis, get that goal and try and hold on to it. I think an early goal for Cliftonville probably benefits them more than Linfield, because we've seen before that Linfield have ran out of gas, particularly late on in games. I don't need to remind them what happened against Coleraine and others. So I don't think they want to see Ashford and Gormley and Mallon being thrown on with 15, 10 minutes to go with only one goal the difference, and Shields and McLean looking at you to go, and we can't run and chase these runners anymore, you know. So Linfield will probably want to take the lead and turn the screw. Again, super similar to that Solitude game. But in turn, we've seen how Cooper, Miller, McGee, they can counter. They only need that bit of space to ball over to fire on the thrusters and go. It's probably more even than more people expect. I don't think anybody's looking at a key favourite, but this is going to be a such the on the day kind of final for me.
Yeah, all about who turns up on the day, as cliche as it is. I think number one on the game plan for Linfield is sort of taming that Cliftonville crowd at the start, because they were feral against Larne, and I think Larne felt it. And you know, that's one of the worst Larne performances you'll see. So I think definitely just keep it calm, knocking about at the back for a bit, and then ease our way into the game. But an early goal for either side, and the cat is just right amongst the pigeons.
I don't see there being an early goal in a sense of I see both teams being very switched on for the first 25, 30 minutes at least. I could see it being similar to the game of Solitude, a mistake that lets one of the teams in maybe towards the end of the first half or early in the second half. But I can't see it being like a run, like a either team running away with it. I'm hoping we can do it, obviously. I'm seeing maybe like a 1-0 with like a late sort of goal just added on, like a right at the end, similar to the Larne one, or similar to what could have been with Larne, sorry, with the chance that Gormley and Heal both had at the end. Could have made it a lot worse. I could see us taking those chances maybe in the final against Linfield, but up until that point, almost as you say, a bit boring, a few jabs at each other, and maybe a set piece being the difference or a mistake.
Keys to victory here, boys, for both teams. Who, if I was to tell you who was your best player on the day, and that would make you feel very confident that you've won this game, who is it? I think for Linfield, Miller's performance will probably be the biggest difference maker. If he is the standout player, things have went very, very well for Linfield.
I think Miller is a bit of a litmus test, and I also think if Fitzpatrick has a good game, then I think that's a big bonus. And by good game, I don't just mean score. And I think if he can link up and bring that other striker into play and the two wide men, and you know, if Cliftonville are having their problems at the left back, if he can bring the right winger into play, I think we're gonna have a good bit of joy if he plays well.
Joe, if you could give a Super Mario Brothers star to one of the players to give them that wee zip to their game, who would you give it to? Who are you giving the special sauce to pre-kickoff to try and help them play their best game of their life?
I think Rory Hill's probably one of the more obvious ones, but I think an even more important player would maybe be Addis on the day.
I agree.
How commanding he is, and how, if we're defensively strong and the way he brings it out from the back, I think he's absolutely key and vital for us.
So what's your guts telling you? I know you're probably sitting there going, oh, it's probably the other team where I think we'll nick it. My gut tells me that I think it probably will be nil-nil. I think there'll be a goal quite close to half time, either side. I think it will come off the back of half time within the first 10 minutes. And then I think there'll be a second goal with maybe 7, 8, 10 minutes to go. And whoever gets that will win out. I think it will either be 2-0, or I think it will be a 2-1 victory via extra time. That's what my gut tells me. And that first goal will obviously give that team the chance to control the game. But I think whoever is the team that then has to chase the game, I think they'll do that and do that. And either they'll get the goal and take that momentum into extra time to win out, or I think the other team will catch them on the counter. Is there any other kind of scenarios where you think it's gonna play out on Saturday?
I think I could see it, whoever gets the first goal, I could see going on the win, just because both teams are so good at going against, going on the counter. And in a cup final, obviously, if you're 1-0 down, you're having to go for it. And I think both Linfield and Liverpool are very dangerous on the counter. So I think that first goal is absolutely vital.
I think I can see a nil-nil after 90, and then a 2-0 either way, an early one, and then a dagger late on. And just the thought of that is just killing me already.
Anything but penalties.
I can't even imagine penalties. Does that sound daft? I just cannot even consider that. I can't picture it. It just would be so weird and bizarre. And I almost just want to see this won through open play, you know? So with that being said, like, you've got to give it up. Like, to have six figures of people turning up into that game, atmosphere's got to be electric. Do we know if the Reds are going to wear their brand new kit?
Don't know if it's been confirmed yet, but I hope so because it looks lovely.
It does look lovely, perfect amount of red. Really
Yeah, love
reminds me
red.
of that Chris Scannell kind of era of the mid-2000s, pretty much the last time they were with O'Neills. But
Yes.
nope, looks great. I imagine. I don't know. Well, because if Linfield have the red on the sleeves, could we see maybe Linfield on the white? Just depends.
I was just thinking that it's, well, I think we wore blue when we played them, but there's a decent amount of red in that top, but I'd like to see us in blue. Just we're the home team,
There's too much red on that Linfield top, is
there is, but that's a different
there?
conversation.
So there's our predictions for Saturday. Just gonna be such an immense occasion. Did we both sneak tickets?
I did.
No, I didn't, unfortunately, with that mess with the link. So if anyone's listening and has given away a ticket, drop us a DM, please.
Dear Football Insiders, sort a brother out. So yeah,
Yeah.
it's great to see this big showpiece to end the season. And then of course we have all these other games. So let's, with that now sitting there, we can file in our homework, get it sent off. Let's just quickly look ahead to the games that are happening elsewhere. We have Cruz against Carrick, Glentoran against Coleraine in the European semis. This will all be wrapped up by the time you hear next week's podcast, which will be reviewing obviously this Irish Cup and maybe the season as a whole. Cruz against Carrick, I think Carrick fans will be sick of people bringing up that 9-0 game earlier on in the season. I'm definitely not predicting that for this one. I think the inconsistency of Carrick will probably be found out here. Cruz, back them in big games. I think they'll win out.
I agree, and they had a really good split as well. So I can only see it going the Crusaders and maybe pretty comfortably, like a 3-0.
Yeah, have to agree. We saw Crusaders reserves at the weekend there. All eyes clearly on these next couple of games. So yeah, comfortable enough Crusaders win.
There's something that tells me I should back Coleraine to beat Glentoran based on this end of season that they've had up at the Oval. But I'm hesitant. Are you hesitant to back Coleraine in this game?
I'm hesitant in that I just think Glentoran will win. To be honest, I just fancy the Glens to put out of the bag. I've done out my March Madness bracket, and I just have the Glens going to the big dance at Seaview.
Tight enough game, maybe just about edging through on the day, just with how Glens have been this season. They've been obviously quite disappointing. So it'd be a nice wee end of the season for Coleraine.
Yeah, it really, really would. Regardless of who gets through, and no, I'm gonna have to back Glentoran there. I just think being at the Oval will help them. They finally got that victory for manager Declan Devine against the Crusaders reserves. They'll come good in that probably. And then Cruz, Glentoran, are we wrong to then write off the Glens again?
I really like the Cruz for that one. I don't think they've beat the Glens this season, but I just think that game factor, Baxter's farewell. Well, it won't be if they win. You know, do you want Stephen to stay over for a little bit longer and go on and win this game, and you'll get a few more games out of him?
Yeah, I agree. I can only see Crusaders winning that one, to be honest. Well, I can see it. Yeah, I can only see Crusaders winning that one. It's going to change my mind, but no, Crusaders to win.
I think they will as well. They'll have all the big guns ready and locked and loaded. It does concern me their record against Glentoran, but I just haven't seen that spark. It probably gives Glentoran a tiny bit of a boost that they were able to, with some of their reserve players, you know, like McLaughlin up there, play so well against the Crews, no matter what team you've got. Maybe that's what Healy tried to do against Cliftonville on Saturday, but it'll be a tight affair no matter what, because it's a one-off game, and it is interesting that pretty much it will somewhat end in tears for Baxter there, or it will keep going, you know. We'll quickly touch upon it then to wrap up here. Institute Ballymena, what a shock it would be for the Institute to do it, but I think across two games, despite a very, very poor season for Ballymena, I'm very surprised to say this, because I think weeks ago I would have backed whatever the championship side is. I think Ballymena are going to win out over two games, and I think it's just because of that home advantage in the second game. I expect it to be 0-0, and then I expect it to be 2-1.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ballymena will stay up. They seem to find their team there towards the end. So I think it'll be a decent enough game, but Ballymena win.
Yeah, Institute 1-0 at home, Ballymena 2-0 at home. I think they'll just about have enough in the end.
So there we are. We had a nice little podcast today. We had a little bit of fun gallivanting to Portadown to see them lift the trophy with a mad amount of fire and flames and pyros, both Niffle sponsored and elsewhere. You know, one of the things about being there, you just notice how much that support at Portadown has grown. Particularly from the times I've been there reporting it. You know, it's winning is an addictive feeling, and clearly the fans have got behind this, a lot of young fans in particular. So they'll play a bigger role in this season, despite them getting a fair bit of shine towards the end of the season. They'll be back, and it'll be interesting to see. We've seen fan bases grow across the league when it comes to attendances, and they'll want to push on. We will no doubt talk about this over the summer, and particularly next year. I think they've got a lot of work to do from a team building point of view, but from a fan's point of view, I don't always believe in this kind of the league needs a great Glentoran, or you know, that Irish League should have a Ballymena or a Portadown fan bases and all the rest of it. That's why we play the league. It's not a supporter count, and whoever has the most tickets wins. You know, that's why we love football. So look, if you don't deliver on the pitch, it don't matter how many supporting you. However, I think they'll add a bit of colour and a bit of zest to the league next year, and it will just be weirdly, it'll be like a little extra, like repainting your bedroom. It's familiar, but it feels fresh.
Yeah, I think Glen Allen fans will be loving it more than anyone. They get a proper Boxing Day game, and you know,
they didn't love it this year.
Well, their record against the Ports, I think the Ports have went a long, long time without a Boxing Day win, so you know, I'm sure they'll enjoy it. But yeah, it's as cliche as it is, it's good to have the Ports back. It's a big, big club. Jack will love to hear me say that. But, you know, based off this year, they do deserve to be back in the league. So, you know, welcome back, and we'll see how long they last.
Finally, boys, Around the Grounds NI, I've been popping you all season. Plenty of appearances. And we might have a little summer residency as we make ludicrous comments on kits and transfers and whatever other bits of drama that the Irish League love to throw up. So I ain't over yet. I'll be back next week, and no doubt there'll be other things that will tickle our fancy. Did you back the award winners, end of the season, player of the year, all the rest, young player, that kind of malarkey?
Yeah, I smashed it. I don't know if you can hear my smug grin through your speakers, but I had Kyle McLean from pretty early on, and it turns out I know football, so
Or you know how Irish League managers and all the rest vote. Yes, there you go. Ross and Joe, how can people find you? Joe, think of a fake account so you can tell us all.
So at Around the Grounds NI on Instagram and TikTok, AT Grounds NI on Twitter, X, and then I am Ross Welsh 8.
On Instagram, I'm Joseph McCallion 24, and my Twitter is on our Twitter because I generally forgot again. So I should really just make it all the same, to be honest. I'll look into that.
This is like the Matt Damon bit, for whatever late night that was. And Joe literally doesn't remember. Boys, been a pleasure, been a delight. All the best in the cup final. We're looking for drama, we're looking for goals. Can't believe we're here pretty much at the end of the league season once again. But like the wheel of time. It will turn and it will come back, no doubt, sooner than we all expect. Thank you. See you next week, everybody else. Chat soon.
Thanks for having us, Peter.
Great to be back, Peter.
You know the score by now. You can follow this podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and or Twitter. It's at Kicking Match on all of those platforms. And you may want to join a club. There's hundreds of people in this club, and it's free to join. That's what they call a hook, ladies and gentlemen. It is, of course, a club which is unofficial, has no card-carrying members, per se. It is the followers. It is the subscribers to the podcast on whatever your platform may be. May it be Spotify, Apple Podcasts. If you just go to the homepage of the Kicking Match page on your preferred platform, go, click a wheel, click a button. You can either hit follow or subscribe. It's totally free, as I said, and it means you get the most up-to-date notification of when I drop one of these pods. I'm hoping that I'm gonna keep it weekly for a while, as long as the news and the fun and the crack keeps coming, and it should, because we've got an Irish Cup final to talk about next week and a few other fun things along the way. If you listened to the podcast last year, you might know what episode's coming next, and it should be a doozy. Looking forward to looking back on this season. Thanks for joining me for most of it, if you've been about. Until next time, which is next week, cheerio, and I'll see you soon.